basically say the same thing. I think they do say the exact same thing. And of course, in 1625, T, do you want to read that one for me, please? Proverbs 1625. And what I wanted to spend a little time on, not all night, but a little time on, I parallel this to the religious world. Thank you. I'm getting old. We need to start with a prayer. I got hands coming up. You're going to remind me. Okay. Jake, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. All right, so at Proverbs 16 and verse 25, one of the biggest issues that we face as we try to reach others is that most people you come into contact are religious. Would we agree with that? And would you agree with me that most people you come into contact with who are religious, most of them believe that Jesus is the Christ? The problem is, they are going after a way that seemeth to be right unto a man, and therefore they have no desire or concern to check what they're believing to see if it's in harmony with the truth. Do you agree on that statement? And see, that's one of the problems we have. You know, your neighbor will believe that Jesus lived, died, and arose. That's not going to be a problem with most people you come into contact with. Most people you come into contact with are going to believe that there's a place that we believe in and they believe in that is called heaven. But the trouble is, they are following a religious persuasion that has gone off into the various doctrines of men. And these men that are leading them are very highly educated, many of them very good speakers. And let's face it, I think we are a society today in 2024 that are pretty lazy. We don't like to think for ourselves. Let someone else do the thinking for me, and therefore, if it seems right, it must be right. You know what? We used to get up in Illinois as we had to deal with the Catholic Church immensely. Up north in the Chicagoland area, Catholicism is the biggest in that area. And one of the problems that we would deal with is, okay, do they believe in Jesus? Yes. Do they believe he died for our sins? Yes. Do they believe that you can go to heaven? Yes. And then they would look at us, congregation of about 40 people, and look at their congregation in excess of 1,000. And the solution would be in their mind, surely all those people can't be wrong, right? And that's a very difficult thing to overcome. So when I look at there's a way that seemeth to be right, but the end are the ways of death, I challenge you when you discuss with your religious neighbor, and you're not trying to win an argument. We can win every argument. That's not the issue. What you're trying to do when you're dealing with someone who is active in their religion is try to put something in your discussion, if you can, that would bring doubt. Because once they have some doubt, it might not happen overnight, but if they're genuine and sincere, that doubt is going to bother them. And hopefully at some period of that time, that doubt will lead them to further investigate. And the further they investigate, because again, you don't want to challenge them and say, well, they don't read their Bible. You don't know if they read their Bible. They may or may not read their Bible. Trouble is, they may read their Bible often, but they don't read it correctly. Quite case in point, when I would read passages about heaven and going to heaven and God's with me, I applied those to myself when I wasn't a faithful child of God. Do you think other people do the same thing? So again, I get upset when we come in the Lord's church and, well, the Catholics don't read their Bible. No, you don't know that. Now, do they understand it? No. But do they read it? I don't know. Your religious neighbor down the street, regardless of what denomination they are, well, they don't study. You don't know that. They might indeed study, but the trouble is they're studying with what my brother in Christ, Albert, would say, with rose-colored glasses. They're studying with the view what the leaders of that congregation want them to believe. So again, we've got to be careful when we go to reach others that we don't think we're so arrogant to think we're the only ones that read our Bibles or that we are the only ones who study. What we have to do is, if hopefully they do read and they do study, is to get their study habits to see, hey, I'm doing this wrong. You know, here's one of the questions I leave to people all the time. I'll ask them, is God the author of confusion? What do you think they tell me? No. And they're right. 1 Corinthians talks about that, right? Larry brought that up in his lesson. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Then my next question to them is, then why in the religious world, under the guise of Christianity, do we have so much confusion? And would they have to agree there's a lot of confusion? Well, if God's not the creator of confusion, and we have all this confusion, what led to that confusion? And then I'll suggest to them what leads to that confusion is we're not simply sticking to the pattern. Oh, and by the way, where's the pattern? In the gospel. Well, you say, well, we use our Bibles, because now they get defensive. We use, and again, I'm not questioning they don't use their Bibles. I can go and sit down with a Pentecostal person, and they're going to jump to 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14, but they're going to misuse those two chapters, are they not? Because we did have spiritual gifts at one time. So what I mentioned there is, well, yes, I'm not suggesting you don't read your Bible, but is the Bible confusing? You see what I'm doing? I'm progressing them along. And I illustrate it. And I know you get tired of this. And yes, you've heard this before. And you'll probably hear it again. But I use Jesus. I'll ask this question. Does the Catholic, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, the Episcopalian, the Christian, and all other religions who profess Christ, do they believe he's the Son of God? What will they say? My next question to them, how do you know that? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Right? Because none of us were there. We learn that we come to a unity of who Jesus is because we stick to the pattern when it comes to him. Right? Well, now what happens when we get to Acts to Revelation? All of a sudden, we can understand united, but when it comes to Acts, oh no, that's, you know, everybody has their own opinion. Has nothing to do with opinion, right? Has to do, 2 Timothy 1, the pattern. So what I use this passage that it might seem to be right, but it's wrong. When I was a Lutheran, I thought I was right. And by the way, I want to emphasize this again. There are many good people who are Lutherans. When I say that, I'm not talking about their personal goodness. I'm not saying that they're not trying to do, I'm just saying they don't understand. And I didn't understand because I was never challenged to understand. And quite frankly, I was pretty satisfied. And it wasn't just Christmas and Easter, but those were the two times you didn't miss. But you had that and a few other things. And then when I was taught, the issue that first hit me was infant sprinkling. I never thought about infant sprinkling until I darkened the doors of the Lord's church. Someone would ask me if I was baptized. What do you think my answer was?
Yes.
Yes. But then I come to find out, wait a minute, it's an immersion. Wait a minute, you need to repent. You need to confess. A small child doesn't do that. Oh, wait a minute, a small child's in a safe condition. How do we know that? David's child, back in the Old Testament. I'm not saying I have all the answers, but I want to say this before we move on. We know our religious neighbors are wrong, but don't get so arrogant to think that they don't study. They probably study. They probably haven't studied correctly putting it all together. Is that a possibility? And then it's for you and I in a kind way to try to guide them. Now, if someone says, I'm not changing, I don't care what you show me, I'm not changing, well, then I close up my Bible and that's the end of the discussion. Because when someone tells me that, they've told me no matter what I show them, they're sticking with what they know, whether it be right or wrong. Make sense? Anybody else? Okay, let's go to the next page then. The next page. Question number 10. I got to get to the end because Bob and I, we got some different answers at these. I got two answers and three. Question 10. What can set a snare for your soul? What proverbs did you have? Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25. Danielle, you want to read that for us, please? Chapter 22, verses 24 and 25.
Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared.
And I do have that on my notes. That's the NIV version. So the NIV does word it a little bit different. New King James says an angry man. NIV says a hot-tempered man. Okay, and our version says a furious man, and it's NIV says easily angered. So now, why don't we do that? Why don't we associate with that? Huh? Bucky, were you talking or? Okay, absolutely. And David, what version did you get? 1 Corinthians what? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do you have it in your mind? Evil company corrupts good manners, right? Okay, I'm not going to go off into a tangent, but you know what this tells me? I need to make some judgments. Oh, you can't judge if you're a Christian. You better make some judgments. Because if you don't, you're going to get yourself in a lot of trouble. Evil company. I've got to judge whether or not that company is good company or evil company. Right? And if it's evil company, I need to try to avoid that. Why? Well, the text says, Proverbs says, you're going to learn his ways. If that's, and I've got a second illustration here. Can one's friendship to another blind that person from clear thinking?
Yeah, it can.
Yeah. So that's why we have to be careful, right? I've got to be careful with the company. Now, I'm not saying that person who's furious and easily angered, that they can't change. Surely we're going to try to set a way that they would change. So I'm not suggesting I'm better than them. That happens to be one of the issues that they're living with, that they have to work on. Oh, and by the way, again, we've got to be careful we don't become smug because we might be dealing with another issue. So again, it's not just that. But the point is, when someone is constantly hot-tempered, it's going to affect everybody around him. Give you a case in point. Years ago when I was a forklift operator, I know you get tired of my stories, but you've got me, so now you have to listen. Years ago, as a forklift operator, B.F. Goodrich, the other guys, you know, he had Goodyear and then he had Goodrich. We were the other. We used to advertise our blimp, and what you would see is a clear blue sky, because we didn't have a blimp. But I say all that to say this. We had 9 guys in the warehouse to load up all the different tires for the different areas. And we'd all have lunch together. And there was one guy amongst those nine who was always angry. Raise your hand if you've known a person like that. How do you think he affected the other eight? In fact, and I'm not proud of this, after about 5 or 6 months, one of my bosses took me into the office because they had a lot of hope for me. And they warned me, watch out, he's rubbing off on you. So again, and again, I was not fired, I was not threatened, but they had saw something, and that did help me. So I took a step back. You got to watch out for that. Now, I'm not saying you can't. We have the opportunity and obligation to try to teach everybody. But this is who we choose to associate with. And if we choose to associate in that situation, it tells me here, you're going to learn his ways. And also, when a hot-tempered person, English Standard Version says, make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. So all three versions kind of tell the same thing, but with a little bit different wording. We need to be careful about that. Now, we're not going to go on the issue on anger because sometimes we have a right to be angry. Ephesians talks about that. But that's not what this is talking about. This is just talking about someone who's always angry, that there's never a positive toward them. And it hurts everybody. Now, in the warehouse, it hurt production. Because you know what? He'd be able to rile us all up that we possibly wouldn't do the type of work we should be doing. So we have to be careful. And really what it was just he wanted to be on a pedestal is what the problem was. Anybody else? Yes.
Tying the angry person back to what we just said about somebody that is in the wrong in their thinking, we can't say those words to them. That's the way to make them angry, say, you're wrong.
Oh, no, don't do it.
You can't do that.
No. You're exactly right. This young man whose name was Ken, you wouldn't tell him he's wrong. You want to get him angry, just tell him that. And now you'll be glad when your 30 minutes of lunchtime are over so you can go back to work again. That's a good point. Yes, Gary.
There are just so many warnings in the Bible about your companionship. Mm-hmm. And this is a man that spends a lot of time studying the Bible, gives out lots of Bible tracts. He's very zealous. But he's thinking about marrying a non-Christian.
And was he pleasant to you when you told him no? So that's all right, Gary. I understand.
I mailed him some information about the topic. But people don't think about they get emotionally involved with somebody dating, and they don't think about the influence over time that person can have. You know? That's just sad.
I agree with you, but Gary said one thing that we all have to watch out for, myself included. It's very easy for us to allow our emotions control our decision-making. And it's not the easily angered man. I can go into a lot of areas. I have to watch my emotions. If I get hurt feelings, probably nobody in this audience ever got hurt feelings. I've got to watch my emotions when that happens. So do you. I've got to watch my emotions when perhaps somebody showed me something I wasn't aware of, and I need to make those corrections. So emotions are, and again, I'm glad we have emotions. I have to throw this out. Do you realize now we got something? If you want to talk to somebody, you can talk to your phone and AI will talk to you. They'll carry on a conversation with you. What in the world is this world coming to? Why would we want to do that? I don't even like getting directions from Siri, more or less having a conversation with her. But I said that to say this, because that AI doesn't have emotions. Emotions are good if they're controlled, but it can lead to anger if they're not controlled. Okay, I have one more passage on that before we go on. Let's go to Proverbs 29:22. Do you mind?
Proverbs 29:22. An angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression.
Okay, the NIV says, an angry person stirs up conflict, and a hot-tempered person commits many sins. And is that not true? So what God is giving us in these Proverbs is just practical advice. You're going to deal with people like that. I'm not saying that they're not teachable, but if they're in one of their rages, go somewhere, do something. Because you're not going to be able to do anything at that time. All right, let's go to question 11. I love this one. How can one avoid having their neighbor becoming weary of him? What proverb?
25:17.
Okay, 25:17. Let's go ahead and read that. Tabitha, you want to read that for me, please? And again, when I ask people to read, it's not because you're part of it. I'm just asking people to read it.
Seldom set foot in your neighbor's house, lest he become weary of you and hate you.
I love the NIV. Seldom set foot in your neighbor's house. Too much of you, and they will hate you. Now, think about this. We've got to be careful. And that doesn't mean we can't visit with one another. But can overextending ourselves and visit cause some problems? Let me give you another illustration. And nobody has done this here. So when I bring up this illustration, nobody here has to think I'm not talking about anybody here. Have you ever had someone over and you're waiting, when are you going home? Right?
Doesn't have to only be the neighbor. It can be a family member.
It can even be a family. Usually what I've done in times past, I just excuse myself and go to bed and let my wife take care of it. Oh, I know that. And she's told me that's wrong, and I guess it is.
He liked to stay till the cows came home. And I can remember one time telling him, I got to get a bath, go to bed. You're going to let yourself out because I got to go to work at 5 o'clock. It's probably midnight, and he's still there. And he had to go to work, too, back to Tampa. But that was the only time I ever kind of invited somebody to leave.
Okay.
Kind of suggest. It was kind of funny when you think about it, but he was bad at that.
Okay, and the thing, you're right, and the thing we need to learn, it's good to be with one another, it's good to visit with one another, it's good to leave when they still want you there. It's good to leave a little bit early when they still want you there. Someone said, I don't know who said this, but I wrote it down. It says, it starts out bluntly stated. Bluntly stated, visiting your neighbor too often or staying too long will result in their becoming tired of you. True or false? Yeah, that's true. Kind of you look out the window, oh no, here they come again. And you don't want to say I'm not home because that's a lie. You know, you don't tell your kid, hey, tell them I'm not home. You don't do that. Yeah. or tell them I'm sick or all of a sudden you're throwing up, you know, whatever it is. The reason for that is this. All of us need our space. Some of us need more than others. It's good to be around one another. It's good to visit one another. It's good to study with them. I had to learn that in Bible classes when I first started teaching home Bible classes. Because I'd go on indefinitely. And you know what? What Albert told me, he said, Chuck, once you fill the teacup, everything that goes on is overflow. And if you do too much overflow, they're not going to want you to come back. So he made a good point. He made a good point. Don't get to the overflow, not only in a religious discussion, but in any type of... Does that make... These are good common sense principles. Someone says, well, why are we studying Proverbs? These are not just to fill the answer. These are to help us to be better type of people. Let's go to the next one. Number 12. What is identified as being hard? 13:15. You want to read that for me?
13:15. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard.
True. Now, I like the English Standard. It says, good sense wins favor, but the way of the treacherous is their ruin. There's a passage I've got down here with that. Let's go to Psalms 111, verse 10. Larry, would you read that for us, please? Psalm 111, verse 10.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever.
Now, the reason I included that psalm, the reason I tied together that psalm with this proverb is the latter part. A good understanding have all those. So the good understanding comes by knowing his commandments. Right? Is that what we get in that verse? So we get that good understanding by knowing those commandments. And thus knowing the commandments, it leads us to make proper decisions. Where the way of transgressors, they don't have the good understanding, so they make decisions that lead to difficulties. I've got my bottom notes here. I said, understanding and applying God's word leads to a positive result. But those who neglect or reject God's instruction leads to a never-ending stream of trouble. Because they make one bad decision after another bad decision after another bad decision. And then they'll say, well, I hate my life. And I don't blame them. They probably do hate their life, but they hate their life because they keep on making bad decisions. And why do they make bad decisions? They don't have good understanding. They're not understanding from the law. Am I reading too much into this? Or are you seeing my point here? So again, yes, go ahead, Angela.
I think you see that with people that fall away, become unfaithful, and then they just continually make, you know, bad decisions. And the more bad decisions they make, the more upheaval and trouble they have in their life.
And that does happen. And I'm glad she mentioned those who fall away. It is my conviction. When someone falls away, I don't think anybody who becomes a Christian determines, well, I'm going to fall away someday. I don't think nobody comes forward and is baptized like that. I think by a number of different circumstances, they do fall away. And instead of coming back and doing that strong, they make one bad decision after another. After they see this bad decision, so they make another bad decision, which makes that decision bad. And it just kind of snowballs. So, key is have good understanding. Yes?
Sometimes it's not their intent to fall away, but they have a hardening of heart, and they start seeing things around them, and they ascribe that to hypocrisy, and then they don't realize their own, well, because of this, then that's why I'm doing this. And they did this, so I'm now going to walk away because I don't see the truth in it. And, you know, just like Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12:13, you know,
Go ahead and read it, because I don't have it memorized.
This is the end of the matter. All hath been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man.
And I'm glad you brought something else up. Is it easy for us to pick another Christian apart to justify ourselves?
Yes.
And let's face it, all of us could. I'm not saying we should do that, But all of us could do that, correct? And Angela brought up, you know, it's, I think you mentioned about the hypocrite, or they talk about that. Was it you or was it someone said that? Or it was you, okay. You, this gentleman up front, yes. Bob.
Chuck.
Chuck, yeah. I'm going to fall right into you. You're going to have to give me the paddles pretty soon. I lost my train of thought. Let me go back there. So what I'm thinking as we look at this good understanding, where are we at? Okay, we're on it, but being hard. I don't even realize when I'm getting hardened. That's the problem. True? Because we keep on looking at others. Again, do others need to make improvements? Absolutely. But the first one I need to focus upon is who?
Myself.
Myself. Myself.
Especially if you're seeing everybody else having a problem.
Yeah, because then I'm not taking no time for myself. I'm too preoccupied with all the others. Now again, problems and the elders have this responsibility. Problems need to be corrected. I understand that. But again, we need to look to ourselves and be the type of people that we would want to be.
Elders have to look for those problems.
Right.
But the average person doing that is dangerous.
Yes. Especially in danger to their own soul, because you'll get discouraged quickly. Because like Albert would always tell me, Chuck, I want you to respect my teaching, but remember all teachers have clay feet. What did he mean that all teachers have clay feet? They got some issues they have to deal with too. So don't become so enamored with the teacher that you're blinded to their clay feet. He would say, take what it's good and don't ever imitate what you see that is not good. And I love that out of him because you know what? There were some things that were not good. Just like there are some things in all of us that take that which is good. Good understanding. All right, let's go to the next question. Question number 13. How is the beginning of strife described and what solution is given? What proverb? Okay. Chet, you want to read Proverbs 17:14 for me, please? Okay. Go home. No, don't do this. Here's an illustration. On your kitchen table, get a cup of water and angle the table just a little bit. Pour the water on the table and catch it. You're going to have a hard time? Mm-hmm. That's what we're talking about here. If strife's not going to be controlled, it's going to be like that water. You keep it, let it going, and it's going to get worse. I like this version, NIV. Starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. So drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. It's much easier to argue than it is to try to reconcile the situation. True, and that's whether it be husbands or wives, that's whether it be brethren. You look at it. It's easier to argue than to find a solution for peace. Because usually we as individuals think we've got the right answer and that person thinks they got the right answer and neither are ready. They're locking horns. And guess what? The right answer might be right in between that, those two. But that's going to take more effort. That's going to take more effort, isn't it? And so again, what it's saying, now it's not suggesting there'll never be contention. There'll be, look at Corinth. Corinth, was there contention at Corinth? Because of ungodliness. But we should do our best to stop contention, to put the breach in the dam. I've never lived close to a dam. I never want to live close to a dam. I don't care how well they say it's built. My number one concern, if there's a leak and nobody catches it, that's going to be a problem. And if I'm below the dam, I'm going to have the problem. And that's happened, has it not?
Happened this year.
So, did it?
Yeah, North Carolina.
North Carolina.
After Hurricane Helene.
So another passage I have for this one, question 13, is James 3:5. Let's go to James, and I'm going to read the NIV. You want to look on your version, but the NIV in James chapter 3 and verse 5 says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by what? This one says a small spark. All it takes is a little bit to start it. Husbands and wives, we all know the hot buttons of our spouse. Stay away from them. Stay away from the hot buttons. You say, well, that puts me in a better position. No, that just makes it more difficult. Because I'm going to tell you what, if you know their hot buttons, guess what? They know yours. And if you just keep on pressing one another's hot buttons, you're going to have trouble. So be careful. And it's not just husbands and wives, but yes, you're going to say something?
Well, I was going to say the spark. Well, with a spark or a small spark, you also have to have the right fuel.
Yeah.
And so that's the same thing. You have to have that willingness. Okay, as soon as you start that spark, I'm willing to explode. I'm willing to be angered. I'm willing to be, you know, dismayed.
Okay. Chet? And you know, I commend all of you who are still in secular work, because you know, sometimes you're put into situations because that's what your work puts you into, especially like in your profession, but in all professions. And you don't get the choice to walk away from the circumstance. So you've got to try extra hard not for that to happen. You know, it's easy for me. If someone just sets me off, I can just leave. Say, okay, you know what, this ain't working out. I'm going for a walk, or I'm going here. Or, you know what, I'm just leaving. It's been nice talking to you today, but I'm out of here. Well, in the secular world field, you don't get to do that. You know, when I was in warehousing, that angry man, guess what? He's there 8 to 10 hours a day with you. Fortunately, we were all forklift operators, so the only time I had to deal with him was break time and lunchtime. So basically, I had to deal with him 45 minutes a day. I don't know what it would have happened if I had to deal with him 8 to 10 hours a day. I'd probably be pulling, and I had a lot of hair back then, I'd probably be pulling my hair out of my head. I don't know. But you are right. So these are lessons. That's the first bell.
Okay. Second bell. We're done.
Okay.
We'll see you next year.
Yeah, next year. That's right, next year. All right, question 14. We're going to go down. By the way, just real quickly. I know Bob may have some additional answers. I'm going to throw the teacher card. I prepared these worksheets. I know what answer I was looking for. All right.